think it's just so common, Val, that women are just terrified of what is going to happen to them or to their children if they commit themselves to this fallible man, because, of course, he might make a mistake.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely, as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Welcome, Val.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Your Uncle Phil, my oldest brother, sends me all sorts of interesting quotations, and here's a bit from a novel by Clifford Irving. He's writing about a woman who seems to be sort of a down-home type, one of those with homespun kind of wisdom. And this woman says, no matter what she tells you to the contrary, what a woman wants in a man is for him to take command. Your little wife is confused. Life's confusing enough, and people don't make it any clearer the way they carry on. Aside from life, you're the main reason for her confusion, not this other dude. Why? Because you ain't been in command. That's what it's all about, believe me. So you got to set up now and growl. Not like a puppy dog. You ever watch those National Geographic specials? I love them. You see these lions over there in Africa, and the females go out and do the killing so they can all eat. And then the male lion comes up and lets out a growl, grrr, soft, but believe me, they get the message, and they all back off so he can dive in and get the best cut of dinner. But he's got to growl first to let him know he's still the king of the beasts. You get all doe-eyed and sad. Your wife will feel sorry for you for a while. But sooner or later, she'll say, "Don't cry on me, Warren, baby. You might rust my spurs." Got to give her a little sweetness, too, but mostly, you got to give her the feeling that you're in charge. Do you like that feeling in a man, Val?
Yes, I do. I love it when my husband knows what he's going to do and purposes to do it and tells me that that's the plan.
Well, I do, too. I think deep down in our hearts, no matter how aggressive and assertive we women are, and most of us can be pretty aggressive and assertive when we want to be, deep down in our hearts is that God-given desire to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that really gave me a different view of Lars Grin when he was courting me in a very gentlemanly way. With deliberate speed and majestic instancy, I was not interested, but I began to alter my thinking about this man when he said to me one day, "I'd like to take care of you."
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. We need to be taken care of, and that's part of being feminine, and masculinity has the characteristic of wanting to protect and wanting to defend. I think of even this morning, I had tears over what in the world I was going to say on the radio today, and my husband said, because I want to protect you from it, I could just say, you're not going to do any radio programs today. But he said, I still think you're going to do it, and the Lord's going to help you. Anyway, the protection was in him to keep me from having to do this, but we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to tell what the Lord is doing and be able to give him the glory for the joy that he's given us in giving us a good marriage. I know that in the past, many times, fear has been what has motivated me to do the wrong thing. Fear that my husband won't take the lead, so I've taken the lead myself. Fear that I won't have the strength to do something, and therefore have told my husband I can't do what he would like to do. Often it's being hospitable, having people over. And I've kind of looked at him with a worry on my face and said, "Oh, but it takes so much work to get ready for something." And he'll say, "But I'll help you." And we get it done, and it may be a lot of work, but once we have the people over and we've done it, we're thankful. We enjoy it when we're having the people over, and afterwards we're thankful that we had the people over. And it was simply fear that kept me from wanting to let my husband lead in that area.
I think it's just so common, Val, that women are just terrified of what is going to happen to them or to their children if they commit themselves to this fallible man, because, of course, he might make a mistake.
Right.
He often makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But God takes the responsibility, doesn't he? When we are obedient to him, then we can leave the results of our obedience totally and trustfully in his hands.
And even the mistakes that our husband may make in leading, and if we are following and allowing those mistakes to happen, even those mistakes can be the very thing that turn them around, turn the whole family around to depend more on God.
You were telling me the other day that you loved a poem that talks about a man's weaknesses and the way in which a wife responds to those. Did you bring that with you?
Yes, this is a poem by Sarah Teasdale that you quoted in your book, Let Me Be a Woman, in that same chapter, You Marry a Sinner. It's called Appraisal. She has expressed the loving response of a wife to her husband. Never think she loves him wholly, meaning wholly. Never believe her love is blind. All his faults are locked securely in a closet of her mind. All his indecisions folded like old flags that time has faded, limp and streaked with rain, and his cautiousness like garments frayed and thin with many a stain. Let them be, oh, let them be. There is treasure to outweigh them, his proud will that sharply stirred climbs as surely as the tide. Senses strained, too taut to sleep, gentleness to beast and bird, humor flickering hushed and wide as the moon on moving water, and a tenderness too deep to be gathered in a word. That's a lovely poem.
I love that last line, tenderness too deep to be gathered in a word. Do you have something else to say about this whole question of fearfulness of what our husbands are likely to lead us into?
You know, from the many times you've spoken to women and the questions that you get afterwards, women always bring up what they think is their unique situation and why they can't submit to their husbands because their husbands are being a certain way or acting a certain way. And our biggest command as wives, I think, is to submit to our husbands. And it's fear that keeps us from doing that. And like you said, fear that the results won't be right. And we've said before that women try to fix things and try to control everything. But God has given us a husband to lead the way, and he wants us to entrust ourselves into God's faithful hands, even if our husbands are not very faithful to us in whatever way it might mean. But so many women think there must be a loophole. There must be a, because my situation is unique, I don't have to submit to God or submit to my husband in this.
The case is an exception.
And God says, I know all about the different situations that each of the women are in, but I've given this particular husband to this particular woman so that she may learn to submit in this kind of situation. And I really want to encourage women to take God at his word and to leave the results with him and to go ahead and submit in this trusting, quiet spirit, believing God will take care of her and the children.
God has given our husbands as our head, hasn't he?
Yes.
And the Bible clearly says that the husband is the head. It's not a matter of option or something that they can work out 50-50. He holds an office, a position, which is divinely assigned. And therefore, when I submit to my husband, I am submitting to God.
To God. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that I'm to submit to Lars Grin as to Lars Grin. It says I'm to submit to Lars as to the Lord. You are to submit to Walt Shepherd as to the Lord. Doesn't that add a very important different dimension?
Yes. Yes, it does. I think of other ways that we don't obey God because of fear. I think of how many times my soft heart has given in to my children because I want them to be happy rather than holy, and I want them to be able to have their own way, but we know that eventually holiness leads to true happiness. I think of how I've been afraid of what they may think of me, or I've been afraid of being too strict or too mean, and therefore I haven't taught my children to deny themselves as they should or to wait patiently for something. I think of how I've been afraid of my children's reactions, especially my older ones, if I ask them to do something. I will think before I ask them, now if I ask Walter or if I ask Elizabeth or if I ask Christiana to do this, I might see a sigh or rolling of the eyes, or I might
get an argument,
and then if I let that come to the forefront, I will go ahead and do the thing myself because I don't want to have to face the argument. And that's just indulgence, and it's fearfulness, dreading what they're going to say. And I really believe we have to be, as mothers, we have to be resolute to keep on teaching what needs to be taught, denying themselves, serving others, being cheerful in any kind of work. And we have to persevere at it, no matter how much our children fight us. I remember reading an article just recently about a man who was so thankful that his father made him work. And he says, and I remember kicking and screaming and fussing about the work that he gave me to do because I had two older brothers that I thought could do it better and just as well, or better than I could, and I didn't think I needed to do it because I was younger. But my father insisted, he said, on making me do just as hard a job as my older brothers. And because he insisted on it, I now, as a grown-up, can do hard jobs. I do them thoroughly, and I actually enjoy doing them.
Fear keeps us from doing the will of God very often. Let's remember his promise, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.